Maybe you've had a bad day. It could be a bad week, or it could even be a bad year. May I pray for us before we jump into God's Word again? God, we pray especially for those of us who may be seated in here, that your Word would have a message for. Because, Lord God, there are some of us, and some of us who have been going through a hard time. And maybe we're even just angry at you. We pray, O Lord God, that you would speak words of comfort and words of peace, words of life to us now. Open our eyes and open our hearts. And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. We're changing gears, actually taking a break from the book of Daniel, so don't look at your bulletin because that's old information. We're looking at a different passage, speaking a different word. If you have your Bibles, we're looking at John chapter 11 today. And I'm still asking the question, maybe have you had a bad day? Or is this today a bad day for you? Or have you been going through a bad week? Or maybe even a bad life? Well, actually, probably wouldn't. If you had a bad life, you probably wouldn't even know, because if you at least had one good day, you would realize it's a bad life. But if you've never had any good days, then life would be just like life, all right? But if you actually had some good days and today's not a good day, and maybe God is saying something to you or wants to say something to you. Maybe you're angry at some people for causing you pain, or maybe you're even angry at God for allowing you to go through pain. Let's see what God's word has for us. John chapter 11 is a familiar story with many people. It's a story about Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary, and they were all very close to Jesus, and they lived in a little town called Bethany. And anyway, if you look at chapter 11, it says that Lazarus became very sick, very ill, to the point of dying. If you were Mary and Martha, what would you have done? You probably would have sent for Jesus, because Jesus was right there. Because they believed in Jesus. I don't know how many of us really believe in Jesus today, but Mary and Martha believed in Jesus. Number one, they believed that Jesus somehow had the power to intervene. They believed that Jesus could do something for Lazarus. Second thing they believed about Jesus was that Jesus cared about Lazarus. Because if he didn't care, well, why would he come? But it says here that they called out to Jesus and said, Lord, the one you love is sick. So they knew that Jesus cared about Lazarus. And where was Jesus back then? Let me ask you a question. Where was Jesus? In chapter 10, the end of chapter 10 gives us a clue. It says that Jesus went to the place where John the Baptist had been baptizing people. And that was probably a place called Perea. Was probably about 20 miles away from where Jesus was. How long does it take for a person to walk 20 miles? How fast does a person walk, Nathan? What's the speed? Huh? A few miles an hour? Three? Okay, let's say three. Oh, Dustin walks slower. Okay, 2 miles an hour. Okay, how long would it have taken Dustin to walk from the place where Jesus was, about 20 miles, to where Bethany was? 20 miles at 2 miles an hour, that is, how many hours? Huh? 10 hours. Thank you. Thanks for doing the math. So if you're really slow, strolling there with Dustin, 2 miles an hour, you would have gotten there in 10 hours. If Jesus really cared, it would have taken only 10 hours. If you're a fast walker, if you're like Joe, you know, he goes like 8 miles an hour, okay? You would have gotten there in 3 hours. In essence, we're talking about a place that is relatively close by, and Jesus, if he wanted to, he could have made it there. But the Bible tells us in verse 6 that when he found out about this, that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And if you actually jump ahead and look at verse 17, it said, finally Jesus did go to Bethany, but when he got there, Lazarus was already dead. Not just died, but Lazarus had been dead already for 4 days. Now please do the math for me. Jesus stayed 2 days. He got to the place and Lazarus was already dead 4 days. Let's say the people came to Jesus telling them, hey, come, please come, Lazarus is sick. Let's say those people took them maybe, they walked very slowly to go tell Jesus. They told them 10 hours. Let's say once they left Lazarus' house, Lazarus already died. All right? So 10 hours, they go to see Jesus. Jesus stayed for 2 days. Jesus finally gets to Lazarus' place. He had already been dead 4 days. How long did it take Jesus? How long did it take Jesus to walk there? Do the math. I thought you were like a math teacher. Okay, the people found out Lazarus dead. Well, they didn't even know. They went 10 hours, go tell Jesus. Jesus still stays. Okay. 4 days later, he gets there. How long did Jesus take walking? Was it 10 hours? 1 day. At least a day and a half, at least 2 days. Because we don't know exactly when Lazarus died, but we know that Jesus at least took 2 days or more. Now the question is, why, Jesus? Don't you know that Lazarus was sick and he needed you? Jesus took a sweet old time. Well, let's just read on. It says, then when he got to Bethany, of course Martha and Mary would be totally, can't use the word, they were very upset, okay? They came to Jesus, and Martha and Mary grieve differently. Martha is more heady, more intellectual. In fact, she carries on a theological conversation with Jesus about, oh yeah, Jesus, you can do all these things, but I believe that you're the Son of God and all that. Mary, on the other hand, is more emotive. She's more closer to her heart. She just falls at, the Bible says, she falls at Jesus' feet. But both of them said the same thing, exact same thing to Jesus. What did they say? Look at the screen. They said, if you had been here. They said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha said that in verse 21. Mary said that in verse 32. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here. If you had been here, Jesus, we believed in you. We believed that you could do it. We believed that you cared. If you had been here, everything would be okay. But Jesus let them down, didn't he? Jesus let down the two sisters who thought that Jesus loved them. In the same way, even today, there are many people in the church, many people in the world who feel let down by God. If God really is all-powerful, if God is all-loving, he would not let us down. So if God does not come to our rescue, there are only a couple of possibilities. Perhaps God, number one, he's impotent. God really cares. He's like a grandmother who really loves and cares and wants to blow kisses at us. But when push comes to shove, he's impotent. He cannot really do anything. Or the other possibility is that God really is very powerful. He has all the power in his palm. And he can just do anything, but he doesn't care about you. So he's aloof. Those two possibilities. That's why God doesn't help us. Or yet a third possibility. Maybe there is no God. Because if there is a God who's all-powerful and all-caring and all-loving, how come he doesn't come to our rescue? So maybe he is impotent, maybe he's aloof, maybe he's non-existent. But we have not looked at the whole story. If we actually look at this whole story and take it as a whole, Jesus was not aloof. He was not uncaring. He did respond to Lazarus. He did not ignore the sister's plea. Similarly, I believe the Bible is saying to us, to you and me, God is not ignoring your pain. God is not aloof to your human condition. And this passage allows us to see, number one, God sees past our pain. God knows better than we do. He sees wider, and he sees farther. When we only look at the trees of the forest, God looks at the whole forest. He knows the big picture. In verse 4, concerning Lazarus' sickness, Jesus said, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. He knew why Lazarus was sick. Verse 6, he talked about the timing. People just wanted him now. Jesus, it's urgent. We want you now. But Jesus, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, the Bible said, he stayed where he was. Almost as he was doing this intentionally. He wasn't just having a party and saying, oh, don't bother me. I'm dancing. Okay, I don't know how Jesus would dance or how he would eat or whatever. He's not saying, I'm too busy right now. Jesus intentionally stayed 2 more days. And then he took his time to get to Bethany. Somehow Jesus knew what he was doing. He sees past our pain. In verse 11 it says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But Jesus said, I'm going there to wake him up. Jesus knew what he was doing. He had an intention. So if you're going through something hard in your life, you might want to listen up. I know it's easy for us to drift while we're listening to the Word of God. But I ask you, implore you. This might come in handy someday really soon. So I'm talking about something serious here. That when we ask, why isn't God giving a hoot about us? He is. Because he can see past those small things and look at the big picture. Let me ask you, how many of us eat instant noodles? They're good, aren't they? If it's not for the taste, if it's for the speed, how many of us have ever used an ATM machine? Automatic teller machine. Okay, because we don't like to stand in line. When we want our money, we want it right there. We have this plastic card, we just slip it in, we take money out. We don't have to wait, we don't have to talk to people. How many of us have a microwave at home? I believe all, wait, there are some people, Melvin, you don't have a microwave? Okay, I just don't like to wait for anything, so I wouldn't even wait for my wife to cook. I would just go and get something frozen, stick it in the microwave, ding, it's done. It's called instant gratification. When we go to the supermarket, we don't like to wait in line, do we? But there's something called the express checkout. Maybe like for 12 items and under. How many of us have actually gone to those lanes? If you've ever gone to a checkout lane, express lane, how many of us have ever cheated? Brought more items than we actually could. Yeah, I see those hands. Yeah. Well, it's not really, yeah, it's not 14 items. So these two are the same, so they're one item, okay? Because we don't like to wait. Everything is instant. I want everything now. We've grown up in a society where we cherish instant gratification. And when God does not answer us immediately, we get angry immediately. When God doesn't answer us instantly we turn ballistic. Nathan, you remember that TV show we watched the other night at my house? Some of us were there. We watched this on, was it Discovery Channel or was it TLC? About people impaled. We were watching this show about people impaled by 101 things. It was weird. Like, they would show people impaled by a fish. They showed, and it was, to our horror, they actually reenacted some of these scenes. A guy who was drilling something on the rooftop, and he dropped the drill. It fell on the floor, and he was on a ladder, and he fell from the ladder. The drill actually fell down on the floor with the drill facing up. And he fell off the ladder, onto the drill bit, right into the eye. So the next thing you actually have real pictures of this guy with a drill stuck into his eye was going into his head. And it was like absurd. They actually took this guy to the hospital, bandaged with a drill on this. All these guys lived. So it was strange to watch. It was absurd. Another one was two guys riding on a motorcycle. I forgot it was Thailand or someplace, right? They're riding a motorcycle. They made a quick turn. Unknown to them, there was a huge truck with all these steel poles on the back. And they ran right into the pole, and they were skewered. Two guys skewered together. And then they took the guys together to the hospital, together, and they had this pole stuck in between them. Of course, they were unconscious, and they showed these pictures. And I was thinking, how absurd. Why don't you just pull the pole out? And no, the drill. Why don't you just take that out? It was so bulky. It had a whole drill in the head. But I remembered when I took first aid training many years ago, the instructor said that if you ever get stabbed by a knife or shot with an arrow, resist your impulse to pull it out. But that's how they show us on TV, right? Rambo, if he gets stabbed by a knife, what does he do? He pulls it out. If you get shot by an arrow, what do? They always go like, they pull it out. The first aid instructor says, no, no, no. Because that thing might be holding a broken artery together. If you actually pull it out, the artery would be released and you would die in a matter of minutes. There are times when, yeah, it's painful, it's ugly, it's a foreign object in your body. And you want to remove it as quick as you can. But if you did so, it would cause more damage. Likewise, God sees past our pain, but we don't see it. We just say, it's painful. I want it gone now. But if we did that, it might actually hurt us even more. Patty, could you please close your eyes? Please. Okay. Open your eyes. What do you see? You see people. What? Who? Me? Wow, you have good eyes. All right. Do you see? What do you see now? Oh, it's Chris and me. Who else is there? Pastor Lee. Okay. Good. Well, she actually could see, like, here. I have to put it, like, up here. I think some of us are with not so good eyes. We have to put it, like, there. If you have a photograph and you press it really close to your nose, most of the time, if you're normal, all you see is a blur of colors. But as you pull it away from your face, slowly things go into focus. Slowly you can make out the faces, the details, the background. It's a matter of perspective. That's just like the life events in our lives. As time passes and the event is further away from your present, you can start seeing the experience and understanding what it's all about. But the perspective is very much limited when the event is too close to where you're standing. Everything's just a blur. God sees past our sin, or past our pain, when all we're doing is crying out, say, God, please remove it. God sees past that. And he's asking us to trust him today. Let's finish the story. We know that, number two, God not only sees past our pain, he works through our pain. God has his own reasons for allowing pain. In verse 39, Jesus finally makes it to the tomb, and he says to the people, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone that's blocking up the tomb. Inside is Lazarus, and he's been in there for 4 days. And Martha objected, no, Jesus, by now my brother smells like cheese. Why do this? That's not just any cheese, it was blue cheese. Okay. But Jesus said in verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. They took away the stone, and Jesus looked up, prayed to the Father, and said, God, this is for everybody. It's so that they would know that you've sent me. And then he called out into the tomb. Those famous words, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came out like a mummy. But he was resuscitated. Life was returned to him. In verse 45, God works through the pain of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Because in verse 45 it says, therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. My friends, sometimes God uses pain in our lives to show us something more about him. The famous author, C.S. Lewis, who wrote works like Screwtape Letters, Mere Christianity, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, one time he said these words, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts at us through our pain. What does he mean? God is trying to reveal himself to humanity, and sometimes through the good times and through the good days, when we're having fun, when we're having pleasure, God is whispering, saying, I'm here. I'm the one who gave you these pleasures. I'm the one who made things nice so that you would seek me. But C.S. Lewis says, in our pain, God yells at us and say, hey, I'm right here. I'm the clue. I'm the solution. You're supposed to look to me. I'm the one who can help you in your pain. Pain is supposed to show us more about who God is. In the case of Lazarus, he used that pain to show the whole world that he is the Savior of the world, that God has sent him to solve all our problems, to be the answer to every difficulty we have. God works through our pain. But sometimes God uses pain to tell us something about ourselves. If you remember Paul, Paul the Apostle, and it's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said that there's a thorn in my flesh. And we don't know what that is. We just know that Paul said, three times I asked God to take it away, but God wouldn't do it. Some people speculate, say that maybe the thorn in his flesh is an illness he had with his eyes. Some people say maybe it's a struggle with sin that Paul had. Some people say that maybe the thorn in his flesh that Paul is trying to get rid of might be his wife. We don't know what it is, but Paul said, I really wanted to get it out. And three times I prayed to God, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul was thinking about this, and he actually penned it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. He said, to keep me from becoming conceited, there was given to me this thorn in the flesh. He knew that if it weren't for that, he would become a very proud man. Sometimes pain is used to show us something about ourselves, that we become prideful, if not for the pain. Some other times, God uses pain to bring about something that's beautiful in our lives. Let me tell you a story, and some of you have heard the story before, so bear with me, because it might still speak to you now or in the future. This story hails from India. Once upon a time, there was a rich man who had a servant whose job was to carry water from a distant stream to the master's house. This servant carried the water in two large water pots, which he attached to the opposite ends of a long pole, which he carried across his neck. One of the pots was perfect, in perfect condition, and it was always able to deliver a full portion of water from all the way from the stream to the master's house. The other pot had a crack in it, and only would deliver half a load of water, because half of it would leak out from the stream to the master's house. The damaged pot was very proud of itself. After all, it's doing its job perfectly, created just to do that, and it's doing the job. The cracked pot, however, was ashamed. It was miserable because of this crack on its side and all the water leaking out. And he's trying to do the best he could, even though it was only half of what the perfect pot could do. One day, the cracked pot finally couldn't hold himself any longer. And he spoke up at the stream to the servant. The cracked pot said, I must apologize to you. For 2 years now, you've been only carrying one and a half loads of water to your master's house. Because of this crack on my side and all the water leaking out, I feel terrible because you've had to do all this work, but you couldn't enjoy the full benefit of your work. The servant simply said to the cracked pot, today as we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the flowers on the side of the path. And indeed, as they were heading back from the stream to the master's house, the cracked pot noticed that all these gorgeous wildflowers growing along the side of the road, and that the beauty of them cheered him up a little bit. When they got back to the house, the servant spoke to the pot and said, did you notice that there are only flowers on your side of the path? I've noticed your flaw for a while, and I've taken advantage of it. I know about your crack, the crack on your side. And the servant said, I took advantage of it, and he said, I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day as I carried water back from the streams in the master's house, you watered them. For 2 years now, I've been picking these flowers to decorate my master's house. And he said to the crackpot, if you weren't just the way you are, my master would not have all that beauty to grace his house. Sometimes we wonder, why? I've shared with this congregation, as I've shared with other congregations, I struggle with sin. I struggle with what a lot of men struggle with, a problem with lust. And sometimes I wonder why. I'm a Christian. God, take that away from me. It's really a thorn in the flesh because I want to live a holy life. For the longest time, I would struggle, I would fall, I would come back up and I would fall again. And I just cannot understand it. Why, God? Couldn't I do a better job if I had a holy and pure testimony? Unbeknownst to me, God has been using me to grow flowers, to bless other people, even through my pain and through my struggles. When I share about my struggles with other people, I realize that truly God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. When we went to Scotland and I shared my story and my struggles with the people there, with the young people there, some of them actually had to confess that, yes, I've been also hiding a secret sin. And through sharing with other people and Christians and getting prayer and getting help and support, they're receiving healing, just as I have been receiving healing. So something that I consider as something a shame, something I consider as a weakness, God actually even uses. Because God works through our pain. At the end of the story, what happens to Lazarus? He was raised, wasn't he? Is that good news? I think it's good news. Brings some comfort to us, but not a whole lot of comfort to me. I don't know if it brings comfort to you, because I realize that it doesn't happen all the time. If it happens all the time, every time we say, Jesus, so-and-so is dying, and Jesus goes and heals that person, none of the Christians would die. There would be all these Christians in the world who would be really old and frail, but they didn't die because every time they're sick, they would go to Jesus and Jesus would heal them. So I know for a fact that Jesus does not do this every time. Secondly, Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, he was resuscitated, not really resurrected. He was just given his life back. Guess what happened to him? He died again. Lazarus is no longer around. Brought him back, but because of other things, he died again. So even this miracle did not last. It does not bring me a whole lot of comfort. What brings me comfort is this last point, that God not only sees past through our pain, He not only works through our pain, He feels deeply about our pain. Whatever pain it may be, the loss of a loved one, a failed job, a failed marriage, a boring sermon, God understands and feels deeply about that pain. If you look at verse 35, chapter 11 of John, verse 35 is the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Michael Lee, what is it? Can I teach you? Jesus wept. John 11:35. Michael Lee, what is that verse? That's it. You memorize the verse. The shortest verse in the whole Bible. Just two words in the English Bible. It speaks volumes. It speaks more than the fact that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It speaks to me that Jesus really cares. That when I'm in pain, when I'm suffering, that Jesus understands that pain. It speaks to me and tells me that God is not just looking at the big picture, not just sitting up there in His throne and looking at us as pieces in a chess game. He cares about the individual. It also tells me that when Jesus really felt pain, He felt pain. He's not too much of a God to not understand human pain. He understands our human condition. That tells me that when He suffered on the cross, that pain was real. And when He went to the cross and experienced pain, not only did He identify with our pain, He conquered our pain. And if He really died on the cross, feeling that pain, understanding our pain, then rising from the dead means something. It tells me that Jesus has done something to the human condition, that our sicknesses, our sin, which brought all this pain to this world, God is taking care of them. Verse 25, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He means that. that the resurrected Christ today is telling us, I know what you're going through. I see past what you're going through right now. And I can actually even make something through it and with it. Even more so, he says, I understand what you're going through. And I feel that pain. It's because of that pain I have come. Jesus is calling us to trust in him. At a time when it's easiest to say, forget you, Jesus, Jesus is saying to us, will you trust me? Maybe there's some people in here, Jesus is saying, will you trust me and wait? Just like Mary and Martha had to wait those 4 days, he might be asking you to wait 4 years, 40 years. Wait, because I know what's going on. Maybe there's somebody in here, sitting here, and Jesus is saying, I'm doing something. Will you roll that stone away from the tomb? And maybe that's the hardest thing for you to do because Jesus has let you down before. And now going against your logic, going against your rationale, because the thing is already dead. But Jesus is saying, roll away the stone. Will you trust me? Did you have a bad day? Bad week? Bad year? Jesus says, God knows what's going on. He sees past your pain. He says, God can work through our pain. He might be bringing something beautiful out of your suffering. Dan says, God really feels deeply our pain. He knows what you're going through. And he is doing something to make it right. Will you trust him? Why don't we bow our heads? God, we come to you and I realize that maybe some of us have heard this message before. But it means something special because today we're going through a bad day. We've gone through something that we need you to do something about. Perhaps you're even speaking to certain individuals here, saying, will you trust me? You don't know what's going on, but I see the big picture. You cannot stand that pain. You want it removed. But in my wisdom, I need it to be there because something good is coming out of it. God, maybe even you're saying to those of us who cannot understand anything, and you're just saying to us, trust me. I feel your pain as well. Help us, Lord God, to come to a place where we can surrender ourselves and say, yes, God, I believe. I trust. I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That whoever believes in Jesus will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Jesus will never die. We'll have that life. We'll have that assurance. We'll have that joy. If our joy is missing, Lord, today, we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to find joy in knowing the fact that Jesus is in charge, that Jesus is actively seeking us. Help us to trust in you, Lord.